Kind of like school, you learn stuff, and we've got principles too. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Okay. This is the portion of the show where I ask, what would you do if you were Andy Denzel in this case? Andy Denzel, Seattle firefighter. Out for the evening with his wife, they come home and found their North Seattle house ransacked. $10,000 worth of laptops, cameras, an Apple iPad, other electronics gone missing. He calls the police come by, they take the report, and after they left, Mr. Denzel decided to see if a software app on his phone could track his stolen iPad using that device's GPS. At 3 a.m, it went off. Somebody at 3 a.m. had turned on his iPad. Mr. Denzel tracked it to a house in Mount Lake Terrace. He drove out there and called the police. He said, quote, "On my screen, I could see the red dot for the iPad right at the back of the house. I felt certain I was at least going to get the iPad back." The Mount Lake Terrace police show up. It turns out that the guy who owned the house had previous convictions for burglary, so not only did Mr. Denzel find his iPad, he found a career criminal. So the police call their supervisor, explain the situation, and they say, "Oh, okay, thanks, sir." And they told the guy, "Sorry, there's nothing we can do." Okay, the police at the home of a man convicted several times of burglary, with the guy's stolen iPad signal going off at the back of the house. And their commander says, "You know, the ping was from the backyard. They're not always exact. You need more to convince a judge that you have probable cause to go in. What if GPS is sending you to the wrong house?" Well, I guess the answer to that question is, if it's sending you to the wrong house, then you apologize for disturbing them. The police didn't try and get a warrant. They chose not to knock on the door because, quote, "it would have alerted the individual and compromised any further investigation," close quote. And Andy Denzel, the fireman, says, "What further investigation? There was no investigation." They turned it over to Seattle police because that's where the burglary took place. And the Seattle police didn't or wouldn't come out, even when the pinging on his machine lasted through the following day. Seattle police said, "Nah, we probably wouldn't have gone in either." So Mr. Denzel drives by his pinging iPad a few times and wondered what he should do. What do you think he should do? What would you have done in a situation like that? I'll give you the numbers. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Outside King County, you got 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. Your iPad and about $10,000 of other gear of yours is stolen. You trace the iPad with its GPS to a home in Mount Lake Terrace where a convicted burglar happens to live. The police will not get a search warrant, nor will they knock on the door. Because in case we want to investigate this guy, we would be tipping him off that we know about him, which is weird because he's got stolen property in his home. So what would you do? Would you just kind of let it go? Would you confront the guy? Would you show up with a bunch of other people? Would you call the news media and see if they would confront the guy on his stoop and say, yo, do you have this man's iPad? What is the call you would make in that situation? This is a real life situation. Danny Westneat talks about it in his Seattle Times column. Once again, 30-second reset. Firefighter and his wife are out for the evening. They come back. $10,000 worth of their stuff is missing, including his iPad, but his iPad has a GPS. His cell phone has an app that pings to it. It goes off. They connect it to a house in Mount Lake Terrace, and they call the police. They meet the police out there. The police say, sorry, we can't help you. We can't get a warrant, and we won't knock on the door. And so they refer it to Seattle police, which is basically just a way of getting it off their back. Seattle police say, well, we probably wouldn't do anything here either, and we're really busy. So what should this guy have done at that point? I'll tell you what he did, but first I want to know what you would have done. 1-888-312-5757 is the number. We're going to start with Carlos out in Tacoma. Good to have you here on the John Carlson Show.
Hey, thanks, John. It's good to hear you back on the air, too, by the way. I started listening to you as about a 17, 18-year-old kid driving with my dad in a plumbing truck every day.
Nice! And, I like hearing these stories.
And then you were gone for a few years. And
on coma, invisible to many.
Yeah, exactly, invisible. So it jumped over to 770 in the morning.
Uh-oh.
And then all of a sudden, John's back on the air, and I'm like, oh, my God, I just turned it on one day, and there's John Carlson. I said, right on, got my morning show back.
Well, I tell you what, just let everybody know that you know, so because the word's still getting out. I saw someone just two weekends ago who said, you're back on KVI? And I said, boy, we need to get the word out here. But anyway, go ahead, Carlos. What would you do?
I would go in personally with a gun, and the guy would pee his pants. I was reminded of a story. This is what I would do.
You pound on the door. He'd open.
I would kick it in. I'd go in there and I'd scare that guy so bad. I was reminded of a story of my sister, who was a single mom, and at the time, and she got sold this lemon car by this guy who had an alias, or like two or three aliases. We ended up doing some research on the guy, and he had like two or three aliases, a bunch of convictions, and what he did was he would just screw people over.
Right.
And
but let me ask you this, though. I want to focus on this case here. You don't know what's on the other side of that door.
It doesn't matter. I'm the cops aren't going to do anything. My instinct is going to go off, and I'm going to take care of business. Just like with that criminal with my sister, I put him in his place. I had a crowbar. I said, you're going to write out the check to her, or you're not leaving this house. That's how I deal with scum like that. And they're not going to call the cops. They're not going to go, well, somebody threatened me, because they don't like the cops. So that's how you deal with people like that. You threaten their life and say, look, give me my stuff back. And they will, because they're cowardly people. That's how they live their life. They've never worked for anything. They're cowards. You treat them like that.
All right. Carlos, I appreciate your call. We got lots of other calls coming in, including one guy who said, no. What this guy's just said he would do is exactly what you don't want to do. And then we have a story from our own Brittany Perrault as well. So let's get your headlines right in front of you, and then we'll go right back to your phone calls about this story. What would you do if someone stole your iPad? You knew where it was, so did the cops, and they wouldn't do anything about it.
Lars Larson here. See you tonight at 6 on Talk Radio 570 KBI.
It's 26 minutes to 7 o'clock. What would you do If someone stole your iPad, your laptop, and a bunch of other things, you knew who took it. You knew where your stolen stuff was. You notified the police, but the police said, you know, that's not strong enough to get a search warrant. Why it's not strong enough to get a search warrant, I don't know. If you have a pinging signal from the stolen device. I mean, again, a warrant doesn't mean you arrest the guy. It means you search the premises. So anyway, they say, can't get a search warrant. Well, then would you just knock on the door and get my stuff back? Well, we don't want to do that. I mean, this guy is a convicted burglar, and this might compromise any investigations we have. So this guy is left with the police doing nothing. And that guy behind that door has his stuff. What would you do? In a couple of minutes, I will tell you what the firefighter, Andy Denzel, did do. But I'm taking your calls about what you would do. The first caller we had, Carlos at Tacoma, said, I'd confront the guy with a gun, and I'm going, you know, really? You don't know what's on the other side of the door. You sure you're going to do that? And he says, yes, I've done it before. Let's go to John and Bonnie Lake. John, what do you say? Good to have you on the John Carlson Show this morning on KVI.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You know, everything Carlos said, I got to tell you, as a gut reaction, I don't necessarily disagree with him. But if you take a step back, I'm going to answer your question with the question, John. How is that pinging? Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Mm-hmm. Everyone's hearing you.
Sorry. Awesome.
How is that pinging?
How is that pinging and that technology any different than drones or any different than red light cameras? You know, we
simple. You ask a good question. That's my property that pinging signal is protecting. That's telling me where my property is. That's the difference.
Right. And then from the perspective, I do not want to sound like I'm sticking up for this lifelong criminal that we're talking about, but from his perspective, how is it not an infringement on his privacy for the police to use a piece of technology that, you know, maybe there's not a precedent of it being used before. Maybe there is.
Here's what I think the police would say. We have evidence. We have evidence that you may have stolen property in this house. We have a warrant from a judge that will allow us to search the premises to see if that is indeed the case. Now, I don't know why a judge wouldn't give a search warrant when you've got a pinging signal coming from someone's house, which is inhabited by a convicted burglar. So right. What would you do? What would you do? It's now your laptop or your iPad, what have you, in this guy's house. What does John and Bonnie Lake do?
Well, and that's why I said, you know, it's, you know, listening to what Carlos said, it might seem aggressive. And, you know, the gut reaction is to do exactly what your first caller said. But it's a sticky situation. We have these technologies, whether it be drones, whether it be red light cameras, whether it be a pinging iPad. We have these technologies, and you know it's a sticky situation, and where the courts are going to allow certain technologies for certain reasons, but not use that exact same technology for other circumstances. It's a matter of a precedent being set within the courts. And I don't know, to be honest with you.
All right. Then let's go to Rich in Bainbridge, hear what he would say. Rich, what do you think?
Hey, good morning, John. Well, first of all, the whole thing is patently absurd. Certainly they could have gotten a search warrant and searched the home. What if there was a person that had been abducted? Would they have handled it differently? And they had their cell phone on them and the, you know.
Well, no, the answer is yes, because we've seen examples where people have been in an automobile accident and they're unconscious. Let's say they go off an embankment, no one sees them, and so they do a search on the cell phone to try and isolate the area to search. I mean, this has happened, but again, I'm guessing.
But I'll tell you what I would do. Yeah. I would call the county sheriff and see if they would do something about it.
Oh, and I'm sure he'd say it's not our jurisdiction. I will tell you what this guy did about it, and I'll tell you what I would do about it. But first, I want to talk to Sarah in Seattle, who is a police officer. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. I mean, I am Sarah. Sorry. It's early in this morning. But don't
be nervous. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks. No, I'm listening to everything, and I'm sitting here just kind of laughing because from the police officer point of view, I know exactly why they didn't go in there. Because, one, for technology to be proven and to be reliable for police and court standards, it has to pass the FRI standard. So all technology has to pass this, and what that is basically the courts find that, yeah, this is reliable technology, it's never in doubt, so we can get a warrant. That's why judges won't grant warrants on things like that. Plus, the GPSs in those can be fallible up to 10 meters, sometimes 100 meters. So you don't know if it's really in that house or the one next to it or around it.
Okay,
so
here's my rebuttal to that. He had it pinging for over a day, so it wasn't moving.
Right.
And a search warrant doesn't mean we know you've got something. The search warrant is we believe you might we have probable cause to believe you might have something that belongs to someone else.
And I totally understand that. I have an iPad and I have that technology myself and I've done it. And for me, it seems fairly accurate. However, trying to convince a judge who's, you know, that's the hard part.
Okay, so I tell you what.
We'll go for it.
I'll tell you what, Sarah, you're still anonymous. All we have is your voice. So knowing that the police will not get a warrant and that the police are not going to pound on the guy's door and say, you know, excuse me, I believe you have this man's computer because it has a GPS device and it's ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to give it to him? Assuming that the police would not help you and that was your iPad he'd stolen, what would you do?
You know, at some point, I think I would just suck it up and consider it a loss because a lot of these people, they're not stealing stuff because, ooh, I want an iPod or an iPad. They're stealing stuff because they need to pay for their drug habit
right.
or some other habit. So these people, they're out of, you know, you
so
don't
let me
know
get,
what
let
kind
me see this. Again, he's got $10,000 of your stuff was stolen, including your iPad. You know that it's this guy because he's a convicted burglar and your iPad is pinging from the back of his house. And yes, you're right. It doesn't, you know, it might be within 10 meters or 100 meters, but given the circumstances, you know this guy's got your stuff. You would just walk away?
You know, that's why I have homeowners insurance. Unfortunately, you know what? It would peeve me and make me mad to no end, but it's one of those things you can't, you know, there's really... If I wanted to go up and knock on the door, I could. But at the same time, you don't know which jurisdiction is actually watching that house and if they're going to ruin this whole investigation. Because a lot of times, in order to get this stuff, because through the court, you have to have a lot of evidence. And officers will sit on houses and watch them and do things like that, sometimes for months, just to get the evidence that's needed to actually convict these people in court.
Okay, but again, I'm not talking to you as a cop right now. I'm talking to you as someone who understands the law,
right.
But you want your iPad back. So as a crime victim, you know where your device is. You know the cops can't help you get it back. Is there anything you're going to do? Tell me why you would not confront this person.
Because my life is not worth property.
Okay.
And you don't know what this person is going to do. And the fact of the matter is Carlos says, you know, you can go in and do this. That sounds great. But I do know criminals that will press charges and do things like that. And at the same time, it's against the law to kill somebody for property. If you're killing someone in the name of saving your own life or somebody else's, or it's immediately threatened, that's justifiable homicide. But if you assault or hurt someone for property, that's against the law, and you can go to jail for that, too.
Okay. I appreciate your call, Sarah. It was very good. Again, Sarah's a police officer. By the way, this firefighter did what Sarah said she would do. He drove by his iPad a few times, considered trying to get it himself. His wife and his friend said, no, don't go there. He later tracked his iPad to another house in Seattle and then it went dark. So, Danny Westneat says, it's interesting the government seems willing and able to snoop on the electronic lives of all its citizens, whether they obey the law or not, but it won't knock on a guy's door, even when there's technological reasons to believe he's a thief. So that's what he did. What would you do?
Well, can I throw one wrinkle in here?
And then Brittany's got a story.
Yeah, Brittany's got a friend that has a pretty amazing encounter similar to this, but we'll get to that here in just a moment. I guess I could understand the police's reservation about going in if this was, hey, we're getting a GPS ping on the stolen property, and they aim it at the address, and the address doesn't come back to anybody that has any sort of previous criminal record. Because I think you talked about the standard for a search, a probable cause, reasonable search and seizure. It might not be reasonable to say, okay, we're going into this particular spot because this person has no known criminal history. But once you combine all this information with the fact that there's right. somebody with known criminal history, that to me seems pretty reasonable to go in.
Well, and here's my standard of reasonableness. Would I mind, would I be offended, would I threaten to press charges if I got a knock on my door and there is a couple of police officers and they say, sir, we have a search warrant for this home. We have reason to believe there's a stolen iPad here. And let's say it's the house next door. And I say, really? We didn't take anyone's iPad here. What's the deal? And he says, well, it's got a pinging sound on it and we have a search warrant to see if that is indeed here, because that's where the signal tells us it is. I would not mind the police searching my house under those circumstances, because I would like to think that if my device was missing, that the police would go for it. But I'll tell you something. There is no way that if I knew someone had stolen something important to me or my family, and I knew where it was and I knew who took it, there's no way I would let that just pass. I could not walk away. And I'm not saying I would not confront the guy with a weapon. I mean, that is asking for trouble. But I would try and figure out something to confront the person. And, you know, whether I, you know, confront him, follow him where he's going to the store, and then confront him at the store and say, turn around, give me my stuff, or the police will be at your house in 10 minutes, or what. But I would not let it go. I couldn't let it go. I just couldn't. Anyway, it is 13 minutes to 7. I still want to hear Brittany's story. She's got a story similar to this one. And we have full lines.
An antidote to the mainstream media. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
All right, all these calls rolling in here, 206-421-5757. That's 421-5757 outside King County, 1-888-312-5757. Once again, here's what happened. Andy Denzel, Seattle firefighter, young man, early 30s. He and his wife come home, $10,000 worth of stuff from their home, missing. House ransacked. But it turns out his Apple iPad has a GPS. He had a software app on his phone to track stolen iPad, turns it on, and sure enough, finds out it's at a home at Mount Lake Terrace, which is occupied by a career criminal, man with several convictions for burglary. But the police say, you know what? We'll never get a warrant, so we can't charge in there. We wish we could, but we can't. He says, well, why don't you just knock on the door? He says, well, that might compromise any investigations we have going on. And so Mount Lake Terrace kicks it to Seattle PD because that's where the stuff was stolen from, and they don't do much with it either. And so this guy drives by for a couple of days, still pinging. He still got it. Nothing he can do. He chose not to confront the guy, and eventually he tracks the computer to another address, this one in Seattle, and it goes dark. if the police would not help you get something back that you knew was in someone's house, what would you do? Now, Brittany, you were saying that you had a friend in the situation?
Yeah, it sounds quite similar, actually. Someone had stolen his laptop out of his car, and he's a photographer, so all of his photos are all on his computer. And so what he did, I don't think was something I would recommend doing, but he kind of scoped out the house.
That's a good disclaimer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story, but what he ended up doing was scoping out the house, and it looked like there was some sketchy, you know, activity happening there. And after a few days, you know, somebody saw him out there and they're like, hey, you know, what's going on? And he said, I think that you guys have my laptop in there. I'm just trying to get it back. I'm not trying to cause any trouble. And I think they said, you know, let me go check. And they had actually sold it already because he had the same GPS, mm-hmm. you know, that was saying it's at this place. And they already sold it and they kind of gave him the runaround, but they were trying to say, you know, we'll try to track it down for you, because they didn't want him to call the police, because they didn't want the police to go to his house because they knew what they were doing there. So he ended up getting it back eventually, but you know, it was just
how to get it back
after the runaround. They kept saying, oh yeah, we'll meet here and, you know, show it to you and we'll get it to you. And finally, after a while, he said, you know what? He said, and he just lied, actually. He said, I have the police on standby, and if you aren't here at this time, they'll be here. And so they finally showed up and gave him back his stuff.
Gotta have leverage.
No, but you see,
it's dangerous because you don't know.
Exactly.
You know,
he
went inside of the house and he said, I'm going down these stairs. There's all this stuff everywhere. And then I'm thinking, what am I doing? You know, why am I walking into this person's house?
Sure.
And so, yeah, I mean, I'm with the cop. I would have just said, meh. It's gone. It's not worth it.
Let's go to Don in Bremerton. Don, what do you say? What would you do?
Yeah, you know, I'm really tired of the police, you know, saying there's nothing you could do. Call the insurance company. That's their pat out because they're too lazy or too ignorant to do something.
If this guy's
a convicted felon, mm-hmm. they shouldn't need a warrant to go. I had a bunch of stuff stolen, like about $6,000 to $8,000 worth of stuff. From my house, I had reasonable cause to believe who did it, you know, and they dig a report, call your insurance company, and I says, I'll get this guy. And it took me a little bit of investigative work. I located him at a motel. Another friend of mine came. We were armed, and we just called the police and said, the guy's in here, and I think he's beating on his wife. Or his girlfriend at the time. They came up and there was a case already on the thing. They came up, they arrested him, said, well, there's not much we can do. We don't have any stuff. But I leveraged the wife, found where the stuff was, and it was still in, some of my stuff was still in their car that broke down in the parking lot of the pawn shop that said they had none of it. And that's where like 70% of it was. The police, you know, we recovered it. I recovered the car. Matter of fact, I was able to get control of the car, and I sold the vehicle. So stuff can be done, but the police, for some reason, they choose not to do something. I had a similar incident. Okay.
No, I don't have time for the other incident, but I appreciate your call. We're up against a hard break here. I am glad that you took the time to call on this, Don. You're listening to the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI.
KVI, Glenn Beck.
And you're telling me also, Mr. President, you didn't know what was going on in Benghazi? Then maybe you should show up for your security briefings. Or when something's going down, maybe you shouldn't go to bed. You like sleepy sleep too much.
Glenn Beck.
If he doesn't know that the IRS is targeting people, that's because he's incompetent or he's instructed them.
Glenn Beck, weekdays noon to 3.
Talk Radio 570 KVI.
KVI.
30-10 weight loss. Ladies lose on average 30 pounds in 10 weeks. Men lose 50 pounds in 10 weeks. Now is the perfect time to slim down, lose weight, and feel great before summer hits. Here's Eric from Tacoma, another happy client of 30-10 weight loss.
Before I started 30-10, my breathing was the most frustrating thing. I was always wheezing and coughing. I was on asthma inhalers, but I didn't have asthma. It was just to help me breathe. Since I started with